This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Lock and Key Unlocked, a podcast about Lock and Key on Netflix, as well as the comic books by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 5 of Lock and Key on Netflix. Past Ooh. Is a prologue. Ooh. Halfway through the season now. Big episode, and you know it's a big episode because Ooh. It was written by Meredith Averill and directed by Carlton Cuse, the two co-showrunners of the show. So it's a big one. It's an important one. Huge stuff goes down this episode. So go watch it because we're going to spoil it. But brief recap. Broad overview here. We finally get the reveals by the end of the episode, thanks to Kinsey and Scott going inside of Eden's head that Eden is a demon. And not only that, they find out that Gabe is Dodge is a demon as well. That's where we end the episode. But not only that, they find the memory key at Matheson Academy. Duncan has his memories back. And also, probably most importantly for Pete in particular, Bodhi has a play date with Rufus and finds out there were two Dodges. So everybody has a bunch of information now that he didn't have before. And the cliffhanger at the end of the episode is Gabe is at the door. Yo.
Oh, man. This episode.
Ding
dong. Ding dong. Gabe at the door. The fact that this is the fifth episode, I would be like, how many episodes is this season? Because I can't believe they're going so hard right now.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be a sort of we're going to learn a couple things here
and
there.
No, that's what makes me nervous. It's all happening already, and there's so much to go. Like,
The rest of the season is going to be real time, them like peeking through the door and be like, he's still there. He's still behind me.
Turn the lights off. Turn the lights off.
Flicker them a little bit so he thinks there's lightning and gets scared.
And I mean, just the revelations, the fact that we see Gracie the car, we know some of the issues with the car. The
focus is,
I'm purely talking about the car here.
Gracie the car. You're constantly talking about the car, right, Justin?
I'm a huge fan of the car. I'm sort of the gearhead on the podcast. Like, when you're talking about cars, you're talking to JT, the mechanic.
Yeah, me too. Sure. Gracie is a red car.
Yes, so, with four wheels.
And let me just ask you, Justin, you saw the moniker, the judge on the side of the GTO. I'm sure you noticed that.
Oh, 100%. The GTO is the name of the car because it's like go where there's a T in the middle.
Did you see that windshield?
Yes.
It had one.
You know about the judge, like that moniker that they put on that. And
it 100%. Like I said, I'm the gearhead and no one could ever challenge me on that. And I got to say, here comes the judge car. Because that's a car. The GTO is a car for judges. That's why it says that.
Because
GTO actually stands for going to orate. Because judges love to talk.
Oh, wow.
This is really interesting.
Nice.
I'm glad to learn all of this.
Yeah. Actually, Ruth Bader Ginsburg drove one of those for a long time.
I heard she was buried in it.
Too dark?
Maybe too dark. Lots of stuff. Well, since we're already talking, what's going on, Pete? What are you talking about?
I was
going
to say that what's exciting about the so the judge is a limited edition. In 1969, Pontiac put out this labeling of the GTO, the judge, because what's crazy to think about now, but the sales dipped of the GTO. Now they're very sought after. So if you get ones that are labeled the judge, that's like a special edition one. So these are even harder to find. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was about to get into those details. And then also the fact that the carburetor looks like it needs some work.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I like the fact that the car has space under it so that Duncan can work.
Yeah, it's off the ground.
That was cool. That was really
cool.
So let's talk about Duncan, just because we're starting off in that place. I know Uncle I mentioned Dom. This in the last episode, but Aaron Ashmore is killing it this season.
Yes.
I love – part of it is the direction from Carlton Cuse, but I just love the way you see his brain breaking in real time as he's struggling with knowing about magic, having these memories, but also the magic preventing him from remembering it. It's a really fascinating and interesting thing to watch.
It's – I mean, the like to see an actor like kind of go through this and not think about like, oh, this is an actor making these, like, it's really impressive, because it's like, I can't imagine reading this and being like, okay, now act like you've just got all your memories back, but it's too much for you. Okay, now be happy your memories are back because they finally make sense to you. Like, the just the fact that, like, he is conveying this in such a way that it's, like, really reading and being like, oh, my God, this is so good. Is
100%. I mean, this show has great acting across the board. For instance, did you know that the car, the Gracie, is actually played by a Mini Cooper?
Oh, wow.
Performing as as the judge, GTR.
Impressive.
Yeah. That's the same Mini Cooper from The Italian Job, right?
Yes, 100%.
Hasn't worked since, but I'm
Alex really flexing his car movie now.
One thing I know.
Actually,
I know
the Mini Cooper got a nod in one of the Fast and Furious movies. So.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Great. Wow. Who knows the most about cars on this show? Let's see if we can find out.
So Uncle Duncan is great in this episode. I also like the fact that I slightly wish we dealt a little bit more with the fact that he all but abused Bodhi in the last episode. I don't know how they would have emotionally dealt with that necessarily, but having Bodhi go off and do something else and be with Rufus was a nice tonic to that after the pain of watching that happen the last episode. But yeah, you have that connection there, and he's clearly way deeper into it and getting way worse over the course of the episode, and it's really hard to watch.
When I like the way they sort of played against it, like, he wasn't like in his room, like pulling his hair out. It was very much him being like, I'm going to do what I can control. That's how bad I am. And I thought it was, and we see it through the eyes of Bodhi and Kinsey and Tyler watching him and feeling guilty because they did this and just this tension and stress of the whole thing. So I thought that was really cool. And then the moment when they get the memory key, finally, another key that we can jam into some skin.
What also, is that? Also, why would a memory key you jam into somebody's chest? Like, what's that about?
I think it's
even on the key, it looks like you put it in the third eye type of situation, but no.
And I also, I will say, I thought it was going to be the heart, and then it was just sort of his peck.
Yeah, it was his pecs. Like, I mean, that's where my memories come from.
My favorite memories are right here, just above the nip.
I agree with you. That was weird. I'm not quite sure why they didn't do the head, because that would have been the most obvious thing, having like the right opposite. Here. Yeah, I mean, you got the head key on the back of the neck. You've got the memory key in the pec now, but should probably be in the front of the head.
It looked like it would be a third eye situation just on the design of the key.
Yeah, you have the goop key that you just sort of jab into people's backs.
I jab that anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about the goop key. Mm-hmm. You can fit that anywhere.
Yes. Oopie. That's what Gwyneth Paltrow says.
That's what she has too much access to keys, Gwyneth. Mm-hmm. When his memories are unlocked, that was such an emotional moment for a character like that we were talking about. Wasn't a huge focus in season one. It was sort of there for like some funny, like, will they get caught doing magic stuff. And this season, it's like sad, sad, sad. And then we get this moment, and I was very sentimental about that moment as well. It was really, really well done, I thought.
Yeah, getting to see him hug everybody, and it's also kind of incredible at the end of this episode that in any other episode, that should be the big thing. That's where you end the episode. But there are like five things that happen on top of each other where you don't even have time to deal with.
Well, that's the thing. They were hugging, and I was like, yeah, 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 this is nice, but come on! Game's coming, you assholes!
That's what I also like in the moment you're describing where Kinsey's there, and she's so upset, like they're in serious danger. But she's also so happy for Duncan in that one little moment. That was great. And then at the same time, Tyler's like, he pulls that key out and he's like, I have to go right now to go to my ex-girlfriend and just turn it up.
Yeah. I do like, this is nothing against Jackie necessarily, but I do think Duncan and what's going on with Duncan do a really good job of amping up the need for the memory key, because it's sad what's happening with Jackie. The actress is playing it really well, but ultimately she's going to be fine. She's going to be okay long term if she forgets this stuff. Duncan, they broke. Like, they straight up broke Duncan, and he might die if they don't get the memory key, it feels like. So it gives it a bunch more energy in this episode for this team up when they go to Matheson Academy and they're searching for the memory key, which I thought was kind of nice. And go ahead, Pete.
I was going to say, speaking of Jackie, like, you know, it was tough because she's going through so much, and then it's like the sick party, but it's like for her, but it's not, you know? So it's also this interesting, like her being kind of out of place a little bit is kind of just kind of reverberating in this episode. And it's just an interesting choice to, for the character, you know, because they could have easily been like, yay, it's a party for me, you know, but like her not wanting the party for somebody just throws parties for whatever. I thought it was such a cool kind of metaphor for what she's going through.
Pete, it's funny you say that. I'm actually throwing a party for you in Times Square on New Year's Eve.
Oh,
and
man.
I really want you to be there.
All right. Well, as long as there's a sign that says Happy Birthday Pete somewhere, you know.
100%.
Happy Birthday Pizza? Absolutely.
Oh, for those of you listening, Pete does share his birthday with pizza.
Always.
Born on the same day.
Always. Yeah.
I do
think you're right, though, Pete, because a lot of what Jackie is going through is all about growing up. Like, that's the main thing of the show, right? So the fact that she's not interested in hanging out at a high school party where everybody's getting wasted and they're wrecking shit and they're going on parades through the hallway.
Keg stands.
Chugging.
It's the opposite of Eden, who is this all-id demon.
Don't throw that in there.
Wait, what?
The butt-chugging scene?
It wasn't a butt-chugging scene, bro.
No, that was a good scene. Like that scene.
Yeah, that was the
You're thinking of
the
John
key.
Cena movie.
The key to drinking unlocks in the butt.
As we've talked about on this podcast,
you couldn't
already,
even make it through that sentence without.
As we talked about on this podcast, you got to unlock your butthole. Unlock your butthole.
Let me be honest. Stop. When I started that idea, I was in a bad. That was a bad choice.
Yeah. Sure was, buddy. Sure was. Yet here we are.
But we do get the opposite of Eden here, who is getting drunk. And it's interesting to see that because she's in a human body, she still can get wasted and fall asleep. Yeah. I think that was, and this is maybe lauding it too much, but like that was a nice little bit of continuity. You know, there is a difference between Gabe and Eden in terms of how they are demons. And it's nice that the show doesn't forget that.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, because Gabe Dodge is an Echo, so there has like super strength. He like breaks the lock there in the moment when they're looking at the trophy case. I agree. Like, that was cool. And it's, again, the villains in this show make mistakes in a way that I think is it's just great.
Yeah, Eden being like, you know, like just before she passes out, being like, I'm going to kill you when I wake up.
But shouts to Eden that at that party, she beat a dude at arm wrestling, drank a bottle of, like, liquor, and then smashed it. And everyone was like, that's who she is. Nothing to see here.
That's definitely like, not our friend as a demon. That's just who she is.
Regular old Eden.
Normal regular Eden behavior. Like, how much of that had she done already in her normal life before she had a demon?
Also, like, if I watched somebody chug that much straight alcohol, I would be immediately concerned. Like, you can't drink it that fast. Like,
I don't know, Pete. You and I went to see Leaving Las Vegas, and you had no problems with it. You said it was a very funny movie.
You're like, what a great comedy we just watched.
all you kept saying is, I love Nicolas Cage. Good actor. This is like a great Con Air sequel, is what you said when we walked
Con Air 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Leaving Las Vegas. Con Air 2.
Con Air 2.
Same character.
Yes. I don't drink that much liquor. Go ahead, Justin.
That's right. The comments I made about butt chugging were ill-advised.
Also, it was weird to see her like chug alcohol, like straight alcohol, and then also do Jello shots. I was like, that's not gonna.
That's why she fell asleep. She was mixing it.
Oh, there was the Jello shots.
It was the mix.
Really,
Jello puts me right to sleep the same way. Jello shots are what the key that unlocks your mouth to a good time.
Oh, boy.
So while we're talking about Eden and this party, we should probably talk about Kinsey going inside of her head. First of all, weird little detail that she brought the head key there. Like, I don't know how she planned for, Eden's going to fall asleep and I'm going to go inside of her head.
Well, I think, we see there's a great moment where Tyler and Bodie are exchanging keys and Gabe's watching. And I think they just always have the keys on them.
Yeah,
I mean, I put them on the keychain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I did, before I get back to Eden, I love that moment because I love the shot of Gabe being so frustrated he can't
so
just take the keys.
As
from
it
the...
just goes in yeah.
He can't do
face.
It.
He's like,
great reaction.
It was there. Funny. Yeah,
very funny.
Very funny moment.
But
Gabe was
Eden does
a
fall
lot of
asleep.
Moments like that.
They go inside the, what is it, hat box? Makeup box, I guess.
I thought it was like a adorable purse, but maybe you're right. Yeah,
yeah, maybe it's a clutch.
Because there's
yeah.
a comb on the
just
lids.
Three guys try to figure out what this big pot was.
it's not a clutch. Yeah, I think it's like a makeup case.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Definitely
it's
not
very
a hat
mysterious.
Box.
It's very yeah. mysterious.
Not a hat box. Did you say a hat box?
It's definitely not a hat box. Did somebody say that? It's like a makeup case.
Yeah. Hey, guys, nobody contact us and let us know.
Yeah.
Anyway, they go inside that. This is something we speculated a little bit about the trailer. We get this very creepy, very Doctor Who-style sequence with the mannequins chasing them, the goop going all over the makeup counters. I thought that was very cool, very well filmed.
So
really
creepy.
Liked this a lot.
To have those like mannequins attack like that was really creepy and also felt very 80s in all the right ways. Mm-hmm. It was a cool, I mean, that's the fun thing of like, what's it going to be like going in their head? And like, it looks like a horror cosmetic store, but it was so cool. The inside the perfume bottles were the memories. So that was neat to see, but it really was driving me nuts. You know, like how, like, oh, wow, she's a demon. Oh, wow, we should get out of here. Yeah, but let's look at a couple more. I was like, get the fuck out of there.
And it was the right choice. We get everything in this moment. And I also thought it was funny. Scott was like looking at it and be like, oh, no, this is pretty serious.
Yeah.
But he's also sort of like, Gabe is an asshole. I knew it. I knew it. And he doesn't just tell Kinsey. He like is like, oh. Have a look at this.
This is so bad. Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad.
I tried to tell you, but here you go. You should see this for yourself.
No. Oh, he's a demon. That's really bad news. Like you were saying, Pete, I did love the production design here. I loved Eden dancing on all the screens. And then when the mannequins attacked, it turned to her just staring at them, which was very creepy and well done. But that whole sequence, great. And like you were saying, Justin, yeah, I think they have the keys on them all the time. Clearly, they have the matchstick key, which they use as a weapon.
Great.
Lets them get out of there just in time, and they bring the information back. But this sequence was awesome.
Also,
so cool. The shaking.
Scott, I mean, that's a rough gig. Like, hey, we just found out this is a demon. You stay with this demon, I'm going to go. Just stay in this room at a party with a demon. No, I'm sure you're going to be fine. I'm just going to go.
There was a lot of stuff in the episode where I was like, you want Gabe to go with Tyler alone? or you want him to watch Eden? Or you want, what was the last one? Like, oh, you stay and do that. I was like, there's so much passing off of people in a way that was fun, and it turned out to be great.
Yeah, and Aaron volunteering to be like, hey, I'll watch Uncle Dunk, even though every time he sees me, he has a fucking meltdown. But it'll be fine. It'll be fine. You go to a party.
I did like the fact, which we've talked about this dynamic quite a bit, but I did like the fact that Eden is kind of right. Like right at the beginning of the episode, she says, why don't we just kill Kinsey? What are we doing? Why are we bouncing around and all this? And Gabe's like, no, I'll take care of it myself. And he's like, fine, I'm going to get wasted at this party. I'll take care of it. I'll do it. But she's the one that's actually being proactive, and Gabe is screwing up so hard.
Wait. You're criticizing the fact that Gabe is trying to work the system within without revealing his thing. I think it's a smart job.
His lies are piling up.
Yeah,
just walks into the house, walks into Kinsey's bedroom when he knows she is there because
it's
Bodhi
the music
told him.
Box. He can see it. And he can't.
But that's
stay
what.
Out.
Yeah, he went there. I think two things. One, we're with the villains so much in this season of the show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is the episode that it flips, I think, and we probably will be with them less, and they'll be more sort of the outside, but we're riding with them.
Which is sad, because that watching Evil Gabe bicycle through a town is just really enjoyable. I mean, those shots are real nice. You can tell by the scowl that this guy is evil.
Yeah.
Man, you like bikes now, too? Are you a bike guy?
Yeah, I love it.
Bikes are the original cars.
That's right.
They have two wheels.
Yeah, and shiny. Mm-hmm. Shiny. Beep, beep. You know, a lot of, Pete, you should know, a lot of bikes have the word Huffy written on the side of them. And that's goes back. That goes back to a time when you ride, you're huffing and puffing because you.
Like a big black wolf. I get it.
Uh-huh. Yep. Alex knows. Alex, you know about a bike movie or something, right?
E.T.
See,
this is the bike from E.T.
Yeah. So what I was saying was, like, we're with the villains so much, we're riding with them, and
a bicycle.
And second, like, Gabe clearly. However you want to, like, the echo or the demon cares about Kinsey, wants to, is either in love with her or what his version, its version of love is. He has the chance to put the key in the music box, take control of her, and figure out his evil plan. He doesn't. He puts the key away because he wants to win her over in that moment. And I thought that was just a cool little subtle change where he's blowing it.
But it's a smarter play when you think about it. Like, getting her to be okay with him is going to work longer in the long run than him just being like, I'm evil, fuck you, pushes her in the closet and takes what he wants. Like,
I mean, I'd sort of disagree with you. I think he's
going for the long play. I think is smarter than just, you know.
I think he needs to start going for the short play, to be perfectly honest. Like, he does the same thing with Tyler, though, where the entire time he's like, hey, why don't we just go hang out? I'll help. And Tyler's like, great. And then he's like, hey, I'm going to ask you 50 million questions about keys because I have no chill whatsoever. And then I'm going to follow you around and insist that I come home with you. And it's just, it's too much. Like, it's too much to the point that even if they hadn't seen the memories in Eden's head, they would have figured it out pretty quickly at this point because Gabe is just giving up the game.
And that
I will say, though, Gabe learns through this plan, this sort of improvised bad plan, he does learn that Duncan can make keys.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler sort of says, oh, maybe because he was the most innocent. So I think we're going to find later it's Bodhi that's going to become the key maker here. He's the most innocent. Yeah. And that gives him sort of a lot of information that gets him closer to actually making the key. Because I don't think Kinsey could actually make a key, despite the fact that he thinks that she can.
Also, speaking of Bodhi, Bodhi's going to be so bummed. He finally figures out there was two dodges, and one of them's probably Gabe. He's going to come back so excited, and they're going to be like, we know already, Bodhi. I mean, that's going to be tough.
But Bodhi's going to bring the very sad news that Rufus's mom is who they pushed into the black door.
Yeah, that's the big thing that they need to figure out, because Kinsey says that at the end. She's like, wait, who do we throw through So they're going to be able to figure that out. I do think it's still a crucial piece of information that he's going to bring back. It was also so great to see Rufus again. We kind of blew past that. But
did he get taller?
He's
so tall.
Much taller.
So tall. So tall.
I was like, who's that 30-year-old man there where Rufus was?
Oh, my goodness. So tall, like twice the size of Bodhi at this point, who also, mind you, Jackson Robert Scott, who plays Bodhi, has also gotten taller. But Rufus exponentially taller. But love the scene of them together. I thought that was great.
So great.
Loved him bringing the gummy bear hand or foot or whatever piece
so
it was.
So funny.
Very funny. And also loved the way that they worked in an important piece of Rufus mythology from the comic book, which is that he creates these. There's this great issue of the comic book where he imagines, what is it, not Squadron Sinister or something like that?
Squadron Strange.
Squadron Strange. This sort of like sci-fi, G.I. Joe, Howling Commandos type thing. Sergeant Fury, I think. Not Sergeant Fury. What's the DC version? You guys know the Haunted Tank thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's Sergeant like all Rock. Of those old
war comics. Sergeant Rock and the Howling Commandos.
There you go. So it's sort of like that in the comic book where he's imagining this mission as he goes back to, in the comic, it's called Lovecraft instead of Matheson. And it just flits between these two things. So to see him have a comic book kind of in that style, I thought was a really neat Easter egg for fans.
And I really wanted the art to look like Gabriel Rodriguez's art.
Yeah, but
I thought the same thing. I think that I agree with the choice. It was better for the classic look of it. I wonder who actually drew that comic, though.
Yeah. Hmm. And why they didn't get Gabriel Rodriguez.
Well, because Rufus isn't going to be able to draw like Gabriel Rodriguez.
Yeah, but Gabriel Rodriguez did the art for luck.
I know. It would look too professional if he did it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But maybe he did do it. Maybe he younged down his style.
Yeah.
It could be.
I really loved it.
We'll never know. I love Rufus's treehouse. Sick treehouse.
Sick treehouse.
Really well done. I love also that Rufus sent a photograph of his door. Very smart. Bodhi and Rufus, they are the two. Fucking they're the team. Duo here.
Yeah, exactly. They can take down anybody. I really believe
they're going to wreck shit.
Yeah.
And also, while we're talking about great places, how about Kinsey's bathroom? She's got her own big bathroom.
That was a very nice bathroom. I definitely.
It's a huge house, Justin. Why did you not think there was more than one
everyone
bathroom?
Gets their own bathroom? That's just pure. Key House was built like 300 years ago. And they were like, let's make sure every room has a bathroom. That was before bathrooms were even inside the house.
Yeah, back in that day, they just had one hole in the center of the front hall, and that's where everybody went.
That's not true.
Yep, the bathroom was in the center of the living room. And that's the way I wish we'd go back. You know, I'm tired of hiding in my own little bathroom.
I like the way this guy thinks. I'm going to vote for you. I did have the same reaction, though. America. I did have the same reaction when they went to the bathroom. I was like, oh, has that always been right off the set?
Yeah.
Wow. That's really a big nice. Set. Very cool.
Really great.
We should talk about Nina a little bit because Nina has a great date with Hot Josh.
Hot Josh,
not only great at conversation and a good guy, but also knows how to cook spaghetti.
Well, he's a little too hot to cook well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you noticed, but the burners weren't actually on. He was just gazing at the pots, and they were cooking on their own.
One of my absolute favorite things on TV shows is that if you want to prove that a guy is like a good boyfriend or husband or something, he is either cooking spaghetti and lets you taste the sauce, or he's cooking eggs. No, nothing else. No other dishes are ever made.
What else is there to eat?
Yeah, exactly.
But he's always like, try this. And like, oh, this is really good.
Well, you want a scene where he's like deep frying an oyster or something?
Literally anything else. Anybody can make spaghetti and sauce. That's not
Unless
a huge
he's
skill.
Shucking corn? What are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, Josh, I can't believe you're emulsifying
hey,
your goat cheese ice cream, Josh.
I don't know. It's the same scene every time, and the women are always like, that's amazing. You made your own sauce. Let's go upstairs and have sex. And it's just like,
you know, there's nothing like a good sauce, though. Come on.
I mean, there are other things to make.
I would love to have sex with you, Nina, but my pork butt is finished its sixth hour of smoking, and I need to finish the barbecue sauce. I love the fact, the pasta, the arrabbiata fact he drops in this moment. Their scenes have feel the most like teenagers in an interesting way, and Nina, the young locks are like dealing with all this adult shit. Yeah. And Nina's like, I'm flirting here, but I'm also don't know if I like this. Like, it's very, very funny that that's the way they're playing it. But what do we think about Josh? Nina gives him this ledger that is all the old information about Key House. He's very excited about it to the point where he's like, thank you. This is all I need you for. She even says, and then he can't find the whispering iron. So he knows.
And then there's the sketch of the gateway.
Yeah, of the black door without the doorway, mind you.
Yeah. Is he just researching this? Is this like we talked about, he's descended from the demon person? What's his stake here?
He was really shitty to his student who was returning a book. And, you know, again, proving my point, evil Josh.
I don't know. He was about to, you know, with Nina, so...
He could have at least said, thank you, I'm sorry.
His pot
right
was
now.
About to boil over, if you know what
I
mean.
Oh, boy.
Plus, I'm like, hey, student, return the book in the morning. Go to bed. Go do something else. I also thought it was weird. It was like just Josh, Nina, date, and then all of a sudden they open the door. There's like 50 students bustling around. I was like, geez.
Well, his house is right on
Lock
the school.
Lock your door, dude.
Lock your door. He lives in the dorm. He's like an RA.
Yeah. I don't get necessarily a duplicitous vibe from him in this episode. I actually really bought him getting the ledger and being totally into it because he's a historian and that's what he geeks out about. And I think at that point she knows, I'm going to hand this to you. That's cool. I'm going to leave you with your book. You're going to have a great time. And that's pretty much it. So I actually thought it was a very sweet, nice moment when he was handing it to her. But the black door and the ominous tone over there certainly points to something further.
Exactly. Yes, evil and I guy. Have a new, because I don't think he's evil either, but now I'm worried, and I said that he's either going to be evil.
You guys are blinded by his hotness.
Yes.
I
know.
Yes.
That's the point.
Absolutely.
I think I said he's either going to be evil or he's going to die. I now think maybe he's going to end up with a demon in him.
I thought you were going to say, I now think both.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he'll end up in a demon. He certainly seems fascinated by this, and it certainly seems to be leading him towards the black door in some way, which is bad news for absolutely anybody. But like we're talking about, it's not 100% clear what his place in the overall arc of the season necessarily is yet.
Can we also talk, like he said, cold spaghetti on the couch is nothing better. And I was like, is really cold spaghetti?
This is what I'm saying, man. I'm fine with everything else. He's a hot guy. He's got some great stubble going on, but it's
cold
food,
pizza,
he's got to try
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let me say
spaghetti,
this.
What are you doing?
Just because you share your birthday with pizza doesn't mean you have to talk about it all the time. I think two things about that. Any meal you have right after you have sex is going to be good. Like, oh, let's rooting around in this trash. Nothing better.
Eating cigarettes straight from the carton.
Oh.
B. I love a fresh cigarette right out of the carton.
Oh, right out of the carton.
If that pasta had time to get cold, they were doing it for a while.
Well, a while, yeah.
Good.
Because that was hot. Because hot when they
good
started
on
making
her.
It.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be misogynistic. Good for her for holding
out
that long.
Beth and both of them. What? Holding out?
What did you say?
What did you just say?
Get out of here. Holding on.
It's a real
You're
problem.
You're in charge
with
of two humans. I'm very concerned.
Soon.
You sound like you were describing cars earlier, by the way, Alex. just like the sex scene in The Italian Job. My favorite.
Two cars. Beep, beep.
Oh, beep, boy. Beep.
I know that works. I know.
When cars beep, that's then they're having orgasms.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
That's what Alex thinks.
They're having orgasms outside my window all night, every night. Keep calling 311, but they're like, you're crazy, sir.
Your house is a popular car hookup spot.
Mm-hmm. Please come.
I know that because I'm a gearhead.
The New York City government keeps telling me, stop calling us and telling us the cars are orgasming outside your window.
What sucks is we turned a really great episode of television into something horrible and creepy. I feel bad about that.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio has to make a statement about the orgasming car situation. Where were we talking about chowder? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, wow.
Real chowder party going on here, if you know what I mean. I think we've covered mostly everything. Are there any other moments that you guys want to call out in particular from the episode?
Well, I think it's worth calling him out, and we talked about this a little bit, but like the Locke family learns everything in this episode. The switch has fully flipped over, and now they are in power, and Gabe walks up, and they have to somehow keep it cool here and out Fox Dodge. Eden's probably a little hungover, at least for the next day, but things are escalating very quickly here. They got the memory key. They've got Duncan on their side now. They can go get Jackie if that happens, or maybe there'll be another emotional solution there. But what do we think on episode 5 to have this much happening?
Yeah. Pete?
It's very exciting. I think that this season is moving at a great clip. It's been really a riveting television. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about, it was great to see Logan again.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It was good seeing him again. To that point, it's nice that they have the town of Matheson fleshed out enough that they can have these characters popping out. They also had Javi, was the guy who was throwing the party, who's just like this background frat dude. So, yeah, super fun to see him again.
Also, it was very interesting that, like, Gabe was the one that helped. Like, they were just staring at trophies, and Gabe was like, hey, didn't your dad do theater? Like, yeah. How is that not the second place you guys would go? But it was interesting that kind of, like, Gabe led them to it.
Well, I love that moment that we get him sort of looking at the picture of Lucas and feeling sentimental. Like,
yeah,
I think we're seeing that there's more to Dodge. There's an emotional quotient here that we haven't really seen.
Yeah, and the fact that he also lost his filter for a little bit, where he's like, oh my God, they look so happy. And he was like, they were. And it was like, oh shit.
Well, yeah. Pete, also, given all that, does this give you more hope for Ginzy? You're a Ginzy shipper. So do you think, given that Gabe is really feeling this humanity, are they going to work it out? Is there a chance
Kinsey,
for them?
Scott and Kinsey. I can't be more clear about this.
Skinzy.
Do you prefer Cabe then? Is that what you're saying instead of Ginzy? Is that the hashtag you want to use? You shippers?
Oh, my God.
Demon, yep. Demon shippers.
I do so like much. This, and I think Griffin Gluck is doing a really good job in this season of portraying a lot of different things at the same time, particularly given that in the first season he was asked to portray Nerd, and that was pretty much it. Stretching him this far is a huge leap forward. Same as we were talking about for Aaron Ashmore. They're really pushing everybody very hard this season, which is awesome.
And what did you guys feel, Howard, how did you feel about the music transition from the Nina Josh sex scene into Gabe looking at that photo? Did it feel, feel good?
I missed that.
The scene. It's they're like starting to really make out, music starts, and then it transitions to Gabe looking sentimentally at that.
Do you think he's going to have sex with that picture? Is that what you're saying?
That's why I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that was an interesting, that the music sort of carries across the scene.
I guess we'll have to see what develops.
Oh, boy. Also, speaking of Gabe, frustrating moments when he got to watch as the Hercules key was used, it was also another fun, like, Gabe moment. Like, oh, man. And it almost looked like he was wondering if, like, if he uses the Hercules key, if I could still take him, if Gabe thinks he's strong.
I did want to ask you guys, what did you think about the fact that there was a key hidden outside of Key House? As a comic book fan, that was a little weird to me.
Ooh, interesting.
You know?
I thought it was going to end up being back at Key House, or I thought it was going to be like in someone's head or something like that.
I thought it was smart because I was thinking, like, you wouldn't want all the keys to be in the Key House, just, you know, spread it out in case you need, if you're somewhere else and you're in trouble, you can go and get a key somewhere. You know, I thought that having it by the school was a nice kind of like emergency situation.
Yeah, it was fine. I was fine with it. It's just, it's something, they've definitely been stretching what can happen with the keys, where they are, how they work. And I understand that's a thing for the life of the show. There's just a part of it is like, no, they're all supposed to be in Key House. What are you doing? Come on. But it's okay.
Do you think the key that Gabe is making is just the regular key that starts up Gracie?
Oh man.
And as a present for Duncan?
Yeah.
For Duncan. I'm going to give you a present. That would be pretty evil. Before we wrap up here, let's talk about the key moment in the episode. Pete, what was your key moment in this episode?
Ooh. This is tough. I'm going to have to say the key moment was the Rufus being more a part of the team and being up to date and getting that bridge going, because that's going to come in huge later. That's getting Rufus a part of the team and kind of like opening that door to his world. I'm excited about.
Justin, what about you? Key moments in the episode?
I think bringing, getting the memory key and getting Duncan on the team, I think is going to be huge. The team is expanded. We've got Aaron, we've got Uncle Dunk, we've got the Lock Kids, and then the ancillary players. So I think that's great.
Gracie soon.
Gracie the car.
They got the talking car.
The talking car key. Can't wait to get into that.
I mean, the key moment is discovering that Gabe is Dodge. Like, there's several of them in this episode, like we've talked about, but that changes everything for Kinsey, everything for everybody else. Gabe's secret is out there. All the locks know it, and all of our heroes know it, and there's no turning back now. You know, I mean, I guess it's a supernatural show.
Not all the locks, like,
there is a way of turning it back and erasing everybody's memories potentially, but that would be a chump move, and I don't think the show's going to go for it.
I agree with that. And you said all the locks know, but Pete said Nina doesn't know, but also Bodhi doesn't know. And I feel like he's going to roll in with the Anywhere key and be like, whoa, what are you doing to Gabe? Because he has this weird friendship almost with Gabe.
Yeah. Well, Twizzlers and Dr. Pepper. Hands. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's endgame material.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I ended there, but if you would like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Lock and Key, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, follow, and listen to the show at Lock and Key Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, keep it locked right here.